So the basic wealth building formula hasn't really changed a whole lot in the last 5,000 years. You know, originally we're tribal. You have one or two group elders, and that was kind of how things worked. And their wealth was based on how well the tribe does or how well the group does. If you watch the show Vikings, you'll see this. They didn't have a way of passive income per se, but the leadership, king, whatever they called them, what was the term they used in Vikings? I forget. But they had a kind of a form of passive income, and then their raiders would go out and raid and bring stuff back, and king would get his pick from the loot. You see that in the show Vikings. This is the way a lot of tribes operated. And then we see a society developed and populations became larger, and there became a need to have kings. And in the middle, you know, in Africa and the Middle East, we had pharaohs and emperors in the Middle East. Because as society grows, we needed structure. And so kings, they're basically were three types of people. Royals, which we still have today. The people who work for the royals, which we still have today. And then everybody else. Everybody else were basically peasants, which we still have today. Now, the difference in today and 5,000 years ago is the arrival, I guess you would say, of the merchant class, the middle class, the middleman. People who begin to, as societies became more open and kingdoms and kings understood that allowing people to, you know, there was a time, if you watch some of the historical shows, when the people were trying to leave the land to maybe go work for a different king or go over here, the serfs would try to leave, you know, they would make them stay. Because there wasn't this thing as like a free market. Every land baron, every king, every person held down a piece, their piece of the land, and you had to create an income out of that piece of the land. And the peasants were the machine. They were the workhorse, right? Well, as the industrial age happened and we began to manufacture goods, this emergent class began to arrive. And these were people that were smarter than average people, and they began to create businesses. And businesses really relatively new, although people doing a skill or an activity for a living isn't new. The idea of doing it and leveraging it and doing it on a mass scale, you know, there's always been people that were wise and that would counsel people. There's always been the guy who would patch people up when they got beat up. And there's always been the person you could go to for advice. But then as society began to develop, we began to turn these expertise and these skill sets into jobs. And you could leverage yourself by dealing with more people than just the people in your tribe. There's a fascinating book, and I'm trying to recall the name of this person. He became one of the richest people in England simply making pottery, making vases. He was one of the first people to mass produce it, to have kilns where he would produce hundreds and hundreds of pieces and distribute them. And he's one of the first people to begin doing direct mail, which is how I've made a lot of my money. Writing ad copy, mailing it to a targeted list in order to solicit money from those people for the product or service that I'm selling. Ad copy writer. You know, that's what, when you see these ClickFunnels pages and the Grant Cardones and all these people with their, you know, dropship courses, these were put together. These were written by people who were taking words and using the words in such a way to separate you from your money. That's the name of that game. And that's what I did through traditional media such as magazines, newspapers, postcards, targeting people. And then I made a good living doing that. But it's not really the way you make a living today. That's why sometimes when people ask me, what should I do for money? I don't know. I don't know what you should do to make a living, but I do know what the basic wealth building formula is. It's been the same for about 5,000 years. But the inputs change. And so today we're not opening up, you know, shops where we're sewing things or making vases by hand. We're not doing that. We're creating digital products. we're roboticing things, right? It's not even the right word, but you get what I mean. This world is changing. The information and the technology is rapidly advancing. And the way that I made my money at 20 years old is different than the way you might make your money at 20 years old. But what to do with the money hasn't changed. We, the middle class, or people who strive to get into the middle class, or we might say the working class, we, the people who can go out, make money, produce an income, can join the ranks of the rich and the elite if we were to only position our lives and invest like they do. That's what I advocate. That's what the money flow is about. But if you notice, the rich, the elite, the king, and all his little government workers, i.e. Washington, they have a different set of rules for the way they live, and their insurance and their health benefits and their investment plans are different than yours. I promise you. Unless you're maybe a federal state worker. See, the federal state workers got a beautiful, sweet system. Well, of course they do. They work for the elite. They work for the king. I'm just a serf. I got to go and collect all the property taxes for the king, and I got to send them in. I got more than one king. I got a state king, county king, then the federal king. And somehow I got to collect and produce and make more money than I pay out to the king and all their little henchmen in the form of taxes, property taxes, income taxes, and try to build my own wealth if I want to get and do what they're doing. See, I'd like to have a retirement system that's sweeter than the federal workers without working for them, for the feds, that is. I would like to secure the future of my family for generations to come. And you can do that with just simply having knowledge. Just knowing what the hell you're doing with money. Most people don't. Most people don't. And the problem is, and the real issue is, that a series of two or three bad decisions, unwise decisions, can financially ruin you for the next decade. You buy a boat on payments. You buy a nice truck on payments. You're paying on your wife's student loans. And now she gets pregnant and can't work. And you're down to one income. And a series of unwise decisions now is really naked. Like the water's gone out. And we realize how stupid your decisions were. How unwise. Because instead of pursuing wealth, the wealth formula, and to be free, you end up pursuing lifestyle. Lifestyle. See, the biggest threat to financial freedom isn't taxes. It's not all the things that people think it is. You know, it's not fear. Sometimes I always say that the biggest threat to fear. I talk about that in my book, You Don't Have to Die Broke, How Ordinary People Can Achieve Extraordinary Wealth. I talk about this idea that fear and doubt and indecision are the enemies to building wealth. That just at the time you should be excited and buying more, you panic and sell. This is most people. Don't think because you're smart, you won't be stupid, because smart people have almost destroyed this planet many times, financially speaking. So don't let your education fool you that you can't do stupid shit with money. You can. And don't think, well, I'm not that smart, Joe. I'm not that wise. Or not wise, I'm not that intelligent. What I'm here to tell you is it doesn't take intelligence to be wise. And all that you need to do to build wealth is to do a series of wise things with your money. Doesn't matter the amount. Take a zero away, add a zero. You'll hear me say that. The formula is still the same. You turn 10,000 into 100,000 the same way you turn 100,000 into a million. Nothing is different. You turn a million into 10 million the same way you turn a dollar into 10. It's the same thing. It's a formula. And you're not going to read it one time and then have it. You're not going to buy a single freaking book and go, yep, I'm good. It's a way of living your life, of being wise, being on purpose with a goal. And at the heart of that goal, at the heart of that mission, of that purpose, is financial freedom. See, when you achieve financial freedom, you truly get to actually help other people, to change the world, if that's your goal. You get to then pursue whatever it is you wanted to do.
Your life's ambition is to play the guitar. It's a lot easier to join a rock band at 37 years old. You've got $1.5 million producing $50,000 a year in passive income, and now dedicate the next 15, 20 years to your craft of playing music. You can actually go back to that dream. Get what I'm saying? That by becoming financially wise, becoming a person who decides to begin properly allocating capital, that every time they spend money, they think, does this make me a little richer or a little poorer? I ask myself this all the time. I ask myself this when I buy a Coke. And you say, well, that's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It doesn't keep me from buying the Coke. But I want to notice the exchange. Because if a dollar out and a dollar doesn't come in, you're not richer, bro. You're broker. And as you begin to live life like this, like, hey, I need a lot more coming in than a lot more going out. Like, you don't need a finance degree. I said the other day on Instagram, a kid I know, interested in stocks, goes to college, gets $60,000 in college loans for a finance degree, comes out and realizes he doesn't like finance. So for all his financial education, he has a net worth of negative $85,000. Car loan, student loan. So for a 4-year degree in finance, the shit I'm talking to you right now, he could have read my free ebook and he'd have a positive net worth, not a negative net. Now you say, yeah, but Gerald, he's going to use that degree. You know what he's doing? The same job he did when he went to college. Because he realized that finance isn't what he thought it was. It's just a sales job. See, most of the financial gurus, most of they're selling an agenda. They speak with an agenda. If you listen to Grant Cardone, I love Grant Cardone. He's speaking his book. See, if I would have taken his advice, I wouldn't be a multimillionaire. I wouldn't. His advice is take your money and give it to him. Nothing weird there, right? Why does everyone's advice seem to be taking your money and putting it in their pocket? You ever notice that? Now, I realize he runs an investment fund and all of that. I get all that. I'm a very smart man. I understand what he's doing is completely legal and legit and all that good stuff. I get it. But you ever notice that a lot of people's advice is your money in their pocket? See, surprise, 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 the largest producer of index funds thinks the only way you should invest is through index funds. Did you think it would say anything different? Surprise, 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 the guy that sells a real estate course thinks the only thing you should invest in first, of course, is yourself, which they mean give them your money. That's what they mean by that. See, when people say, well, you should first invest in yourself, you ever notice that people that tell you that always have about $5,000, $10,000 worth of shit to sell you? Let that sink in. So the next time you hear your favorite guy, your favorite guru, and they give you that advice, you should invest in yourself first. Notice how soon it's followed up with a way to do that. I think you should invest in yourself first too. And then go learn a whole bunch of free information. Shit's been around for 5,000 years. Put in time, effort, study, and hustle. You don't need to pay anybody for a course. Shouldn't be buying anything over $200. It's absurd. Ridiculous. 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 And if you took one that was $5,000 and you think you know something that I don't know, let me know. Let me know how it's worked for you. So beware when people say first thing you should do is invest in yourself. I say this, though, all the time. First thing you should do is invest in yourself. I also think that means a gym membership. I also think that means maybe you go to college. I'm not against going to college. College is great. I just think you should pay for the things you buy. I think you should only take debt when money comes to you. I'm not against debt. I'm not on the Dave Ramsey bus either. I like Dave. I appreciate his comments when it comes to consumer debt, because the guy in my description I gave you there now has college debt, now has car debt. It will be a fucking decade. A decade before he has a positive net worth if he doesn't do what I'm saying. If you live your life for lifestyle, almost all of you will be poor at some point in your life. That'll probably be when you're 70. Now, what do I mean by if you live your life for lifestyle? It means you spend all your money. Everyone does this. Poor people live for lifestyle. All the money that comes in, they spend all the money. That's lifestyle. If you make $10,000 a month, you spend $10,000 a month. You spend your money on lifestyle. If you make $30,000 a month and you spend all $30,000 and have all this fancy stuff to show people, watches, clothes, and quote, you call this lifestyle, your lifestyle living. Mike Tyson made $300 million file for bankruptcy. Lifestyle living. You don't think he did that on purpose? Of course he did. You can't accidentally spend $300 million. Like, you have to decide, I'm just going to, right? And so everyone lives for lifestyle who's broke. Because the way to get unbroke is to stop living for lifestyle and begin living to build wealth. So when Robert Kiyosaki says, well, the rich don't work for money. Yeah, yeah, and no. But what he means by that, I think, is they live to make money to buy assets that produce wealth. So every day I wake up with this idea. Today, I'm going to be wiser than I was yesterday. That every dollar I spend, I'm going to consciously acknowledge, is this helping me or is this hurting me? If you spend a quarter, are you richer today or less today? Now, that may sound bizarre to some people. And the reason it sounds bizarre to you is you don't have any connection whatsoever to your money. You don't understand the value. See, I understand what car payments for 20 years does to you. I talk to 55-year-old men almost every single day, and they're flat broke. But all their life, they've made car payments. All their life, they've had RV payments. All their life, they've had house payments. They have payment after payment after payment after payment. There's all these payments they've had. One of them, not one of them, at any point in time was to themselves. Even though they all know. It's not from a lack of knowledge. It's no one doesn't know this information. Again, the formula for building wealth has been the same for 5,000 years. In the beginning, who made the money? The Lord of the land. You mean being a landlord is a model that has paid money for 5,000 years? Yes. Now, the beautiful thing about our day and age is you can invest in the landlord without doing any of the work. There's crowdfunding, there's online various things. I don't do that. I actually buy the land, fix the house, put the tenant in, collect the money. Old school, 5,000-year-old profession. Right? I don't need a course. What the hell do I need a $5,000 course for? What's so complicated about what I just said? What is complicated about buying a house at fair value, putting 20% down, fixing it up, putting a rent? Now, hear people say, well, what if I spend too much? Okay, you messed up. Well, what do I do? You work it off. One time I purchased a house. I got it wrong. Numbers all wrong. What we could rent it for was wrong. I ended up costing me $25 a month in passive income. Fast forward 8 years. The house is making about $325 positive passive income, and it's worth a hell of a lot more than I paid. Time corrected my mistake. Time corrected my mistake because the assets that I invest in are so valuable that over time, you get your money back. You say, Gerald, but I bought that stock and then it immediately went down. Good. Good. Now you can buy a little more cheaper. Set your dividends to reinvest. Buy some more shares cheaper. And guess what? You're going to increase your passive income at a lower rate. What is the problem? And so this basic idea, this formula for building wealth has been the same. Make as much money as you can. Don't turn your income into other people's passive income. That's what debt is. You understand that. Every interest payment, that's their passive income. You have to decide at some point, I want to be on this side of the cash register, not that side of the cash register. I want to be on the collecting of money. That's the business I'm putting my family in. See, I want my kids, grandkids, what are you in? What business do you guys, we just collect money. What do you mean? Yeah, we just own a bunch of shit and everybody sends us money. Wouldn't that be a beautiful business? What if my grandkids could just choose what they like to do? They're already rich. You want to solve the student loan problem? Here's the funny part. If your parents had read my ebook, if your parents had listened to what I'm saying and decided, hey, we should live a life like this. We should be conscious of every dollar that comes and goes. We should decide to set our family up to receive money and not pay out money. What if we decided to do this, honey? What if we lived our life not for self-indulgence? That's what lifestyle is. So that's what that is. I'm not talking about living like a monk. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about living with a mission on purpose. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. What if your parents had decided to do this? This is how fixing the student loan problem looks. Your dad goes, well, we're going to have a baby. And he goes and he gets $10,000 and he puts it into an S&P 500 fund for you. And then once a month for the rest of your life, he throws 20, 25 bucks in. That's it. And ta-da, when you graduate, he writes you a check for $75,000. Here you go, sweetie. Have fun at college. Meaning all your dad had to do, or your mom had to do, or your grandparent had to do, or just some person in your family that was wise. One transaction. And you didn't have student loan. That's how powerful this knowledge is. And yet, for some reason, if you don't charge people $5,000 for it, they don't apply. It doesn't seem that big of a deal. What I advocate in my book, this philosophy of handling money called the money flow, actually fixes most of the problems of the world. It's not going to fix bad luck. It's not going to fix cancer. Although it make it a hell of a lot easier. See, when you drop $30,000 on a wedding when you're 26 and you think this is cool, then you get a new car, you buy a house. We're not really thinking about building wealth. Yeah, maybe you got a little bit of money going in your 401k, a little bit. See, there shouldn't even be a retirement system. I think that's what keeps people from investing. When you're 25, you can't imagine yourself at 70. You just don't see it. It's not like a real person. And so I don't advocate retirement investing. I advocate investing now, today. Like for you, right now, invest so you increase your passive income. That every freaking dollar you put in has a return next month. That kind of investing. And where you don't watch the balance, you watch the balance of the passive income that's coming to you every month. That's what you care about. You're trying to raise that number. The ups and downs of the daily markets, who gives a damn? What do I care where housing prices go? I don't care. I'm not selling, so it doesn't matter to me. Every house I own could go to $1 million. I'm in the passive income game, man. The game doesn't change. The formula hasn't changed in 5,000 years. But new courses, new gadgets, new gurus, new things. Oh, this shiny little object over here. Now I'm going to be a drop shipper. Ooh, now I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to do that. I'm going to do futures, crypto, Bitcoin. All bullshit. None of that stuff has anything to do with 5,000-year-old wealth-building formula. Buy assets that produce income. I'm not saying don't do them. I'm not mad at you for doing them. There's nothing wrong with dedicating part of your time to trying to get rich or come up with an idea or flipping something. Do that. But that's not investing. And I'm talking about investing. Right? I'm not saying don't have jobs. I'm saying have jobs. And while you have a job, start a business. And if you can figure out a way to do crypto, do crypto. But you don't do it with your entire net worth. You do it with a little. Because if you can't make money with a little, what good is having a lot? I trade. I do trade. I do some trading, but it's separate in a different account than my investing. But I trade. But I know what it is. I know what it is. I understand risk. I realize if I lose $10, I'm actually less richer than I was yesterday. And my goal every day is to be richer than the day before. And so I got to make sure that everything's lining up with this basic philosophy. Buying a ski boat, unless I'm writing a check, ain't lining up with it. So I stop buying things. I don't finance telephones. This drives me crazy. You go into AT&T and Verizon, oh, they're going to give me a free. It's not free. It's not free at all. It's added to your plan. You're financing a phone. You should go into the store and write a $1,300 check and buy the damn phone. Why? You need to feel money. You understand that's how people get in massive debt and don't build wealth. They've never felt money. You need to feel the money. It's part of the money flow. From every penny to every dollar to every $1,000, all money is spent wisely. Not restricted, not never have fun. I'm not advocating that. You'll see in my book, I do. I have swimming pools and I buy my wife a brand new nice car. She gets one. I don't want one. I give two shits about lifestyle. I'm trying to build wealth. Lifestyle is in the way. The little bit of lifestyle that I have to spend on my little mini mansion for my family and for all, it drives me crazy. Because I'd live in a tent and make more. But I get that's not everyone. But it should be you for a small period of time. That's what I'm advocating. Just like you allocate 4 years to go to college, I think you should allocate 4 to 5, I think 7 years of every single penny. Is every dollar is allocated into investing because it sets you up for the rest of your life to do whatever you want forever. You're never dependent on a job. You're never dependent on a spouse. You're never dependent on the government. And if you do what I'm saying, after that 7 year period, you could never save another penny again and you would die rich. That's how simple it is. But lifestyle gets in the way.